Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, the fellow with great hair, and I smell quite good as well today. Yeah. Andy Goldstein, and what a podcast we, as in a royal we, have got for you today. And we begin with Clinton Morrison alongside Natalie Sawyer.
Breaking news that we touched on at the top of the show with regards to Bernardo Silva and the misconduct charge now that is in place. The FA have charged him in relation to his social media post about his Manchester City teammate Benjamin Mendy. The FA alleged that Silva's tweet represents an aggravated breach as it included reference, whether expressed or implied, they say, to race and or colour and or ethnic origin. Do you think this is the right course of action that the FA should be going down? Because should it not be more of we need to actually educate someone like Bernardo Silva or other players in general rather than actually just charging him?
Yeah, I think he needs educating, definitely. It's a stupid thing to do. It's, black people are offended by it because I've been looking on social media and a lot of black people are massively offended by it. And it's not a thing. And in this day and age, in any day and age, you shouldn't be doing stuff like that. No. I don't think Bernardo Silva is a racist. No chance. I don't think that. I think actually what they're going to do, they're going to charge him and make him miss games. Well, I don't know if that is the right thing to do. Maybe give him some education and know what's right and what is not wrong. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And that is wrong. That is wrong because a lot of black people are offended by what he put
up. Were you
up.
Offended by it?
Yeah, I was offended. I could listen. It's so difficult for what I'm gonna say because it's difficult because what if that's them two are friends? Then Mendy would think, oh, he's having banter with me. But that's not banter because it's racism at the end of the day because it's a picture of a character. Yeah, and it's a black character. And then he's referenced Benjamin Mendy. And then the video is a lot worse. The video is even worse. So he's obviously thinking when he first did it, He didn't offend him. Now he's done it again. He doesn't realize that. So that just goes to show.
The video was old.
Oh, fair. And then it came back again. So he's done the video first, and he doesn't realize that it's not right. It's not right to do that. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And then he's done that again. But that's because maybe his teammate Benjamin Mendy thought it was funny and has not told him that's not right to do. Do you know? Or other players in and around the Man City change room have told him that's not the right thing to do. But there's a lot of black players in that change room, and it don't look like. It's offended them, but it has offended most other black people who are not in that change room.
We had Simon Jordan on last week talking about it, and he sort of felt that it was quite clearly, as you've referred to already, sort of banter between two teammates who are clearly friends. And he sort of feels that this going after Bernardo Silva sort of undermines the fight against racism, if you like, because he's seeing it as just two friends having a joke. And if it was done the other way around, would anything be done about that?
I get that it is two friends, but what we are going through at the moment with racism and stuff like that, it's just not the right time. Mm-hmm. Any time's not the right time, but in particular now, it's definitely not the right time to do that. I think he's honestly made a mistake. I don't think he deserves to be charged. I think he needs educating of what racism is and stuff like that, and don't be doing stuff like that again. Do you know what I mean? But then his teammates need to come out and tell him as well that that's wrong as well, because everyone's talking about it. All the black players are calling it out. But when a player is making jokes like that, you got to pull him to one side and say, that's not right. But I do get what Simon Jordan's saying. A lot of that, people do think it's banter. And that goes on from years ago where people could have banter like that together. But in this day and age, that's not happening.
Now, you may remember last night on the Sports Bar, Andy Goldstein's Sports Bar, obviously, it was a quite bonkers night for football phoning, with, of course, Tottenham fans trying to work out just what on earth happened to their side. The answer, of course, was nothing happened. They were appalling. And another busy night in the Champions League again. This time, of course, Liverpool and Chelsea fans having their say on national radio.
You're saying that Liverpool had a bad night, Tony, is that right?
We had a bad night and won 4-3.
So you had a bad night. Okay.
Last time you came on, Tony, you said that you were happy with... What was it?
The defeat.
They did get beat by. Oh, yeah.
Here we go. Look, the Muppets. Hold on, Tony.
If you're going to talk Muppets, it was you that said you were happy with the defeat.
Well,
if you're
talking Muppets. Tony. Tony. I just wonder. I heard it on there. Go on, play it again.
So I just wonder, are you happy you conceded 3 tonight? Just
I was happy, but we won.
Are you happy tonight, Tone?
You happy you conceded 3?
I'm over the moon. Okay. Do you know what? I'm over the moon because we're playing on the Tuesday and a Wednesday night and not on the Thursday night.
Yeah. Okay. Look, it is about the 3 points, but they conceded 3
Thank
goals
you,
in 20
minutes. It is.
Yeah, but you can't get away from the fact that 3 goals in 20 minutes was conceded.
That's well, Joe Gomez has just come back in, right, yeah. Which was a bit of a... He hasn't played for a while. Matip has been a good partnership to like Van Dijk and stuff like that. We've still got our proper goalkeeper to come back yet as well, so... You know, you've got to look at things like that.
Yeah, I'm a regular TalkSport caller. Tried to not call you guys because you tried to wind me up or sort of say it was Liverpool fans. Always looking at the negatives, never the positives. I've got to agree with Tony a little bit. So you're going on about how if we didn't concede, Leicester would have won the Premier League. Well, didn't we have one of the best defences last year? And then secondly...
Hold on. Let me address that. Had you not conceded against City, you'd have won the Premier League.
Yeah, Andy, let me finish. And okay. Then I'll let you have your say. It's your show at the end of the day. And secondly, you're going about our midfield tonight. That's a Champions League winning midfield. You know, don't get me wrong. I get what you're saying. You're 3-0 up against Salzburg. We should be shut and shot.
That's all I'm saying.
I get that. But... Stop always looking at the negatives. Look at the positives. We're top of the Premier League. We're going to qualify in the group. Are we going to win the Champions League? We've got to be one of the favourites. I don't want to say yes at this stage. But there's one thing for sure. We're playing on Tuesday and Wednesday nights and you're playing...
Liam, listen. Yes, you're right, because United are appalling at the moment. But we're not talking about United at the moment. Right?
No, but you're talking about the negatives of Liverpool. And I get what you're saying.
Well, no, because before the game started, Liam, Liverpool were odds-on favourite to win tonight. And I expected you... Hold on. And I expected you to win, right? Also, we talk so often about, you know, floodlights at Anfield on a busy Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever. And I hear all of this. So I expected Liverpool to get maximum points. So that's...
And we did?
So, yeah, but that's not news. The fact that Liverpool won, that's not news to me. I expected it. Because you're that good. I expected Liverpool to win tonight. It's not... If I would have started the show with, oh my God, Liverpool have won, or can you believe it? Oh, 8-7. I expected Liverpool to win. I'm only... Big news tonight, is it not, is that Liverpool threw away a 3-goal lead at one stage. Is that not...
Yes, you're right. But
I'm saying, Liam.
The champions we are, we've shown... Honestly, I was there. Yeah, Salzburg had the upper hand. But guess what? The champions we are, we got the win.
Now we start the day, obviously, with the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show, or the ABSB, or the ABZB, as some people never actually call it. Martin Yole was on the show talking about Tottenham and saying that they're running out of excuses for Harry Kane to stay on.
He's a Spurs boy, you know, and the only thing is, they are not winning anything. And I could always say, yeah, but Arsenal is there, United, City, Liverpool. So I was quite happy to be fifth, you know. But everybody else said, no, you have to be in the Champions League. And in hindsight, you can appreciate that. Now, in the top four for 3 or 4 years. Even with Harry, they were in the top four. But I think that Spurs, they put in all the money. But that doesn't mean that you will win games. I had 6 or 7 young players in my team with Janice, Lennon, Ledley King, Defoe. I mean, we were fifth. So I think they've got all the ingredients now to be a very good team again.
We can head over now to our sister station. Well, more of a sort of you ugly auntie. Anyway, TalkSport 2 had Graham Roberts on, the fellow with the big thighs, who, of course, lifted the UEFA Cup for Tottenham in 1984. He was on defending the Spurs.
Colchester away, Newcastle at home. Maybe we should have the old, go back to Wembley or get the old stadium back because, you know, we were unbeatable there. You know, I think this stadium is hard for us at the moment. I think the support is brilliant. We're not got used to the new stadium at the moment, and maybe, you know, that's a part.
Jim White here. You're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
We can head back to the breakfast show now, where Ali McQuest was on, telling a story about Rangers also winning 7-2. Although I'm sure that's a misprint. Maybe they won at 7-2. Maybe they're like 3.5-1. Anyway, let's find out.
Nobody likes people that blow their own trumpet. Having said that, I think everybody, any football fan globally, should have a particular look at those first two headers, because they were
headers, mate.
They were Joe Jordan-esque. I'm telling you, it's not like me, and you know I'm not one for doing it, but I am officially patting myself in the back for the listeners to see, right? Because the first two headers were so unlike me. But anyway, great story. So, and this is the truth. I think the previous year, I'm sure Liverpool, I know Liverpool played them, and I think drew at home and only beat them by the odd
goal. Well, that same team, you beat them 7 away.
I'm telling you, and we beat them 7. Anyway, 15 minutes to go. This is true. And Vladi Kafkas, 15 minutes to go.
Where is Vladi Kafkas?
It's not exactly, well, it ain't Vegas. We fortunately took our own food and took everything. It's not, it's deepest, it's down the, I think it's towards the east or southeast, or it's a way down that kind of way. Miles, it's a trek. Anyway, 7-2, score the 7th goal. I think there's 7 minutes to go, whatever it is. I think we scored the 7th goal in about 83rd minute. Brilliant story. And the wee coach from Vladi Kafkas gets up, out his own dugout, walks over, shakes hands with Walter, shakes hands with Archie Knox, and walks out the stadium.
With 15 minutes to go?
No. After this, I think it was about 7 minutes, 7 or 8 minutes ago, we scored the seventh goal and he came on. It was brilliant. I can still see him because I was in the dugout at the
time. Do you know what happened to him?
No, no idea.
Salt mines?
Salt mines. I think definitely he had a passport with Siberia stamped on it. he was heading there.
Over now to Hawksby and Jacobs, where Paul and Andy were talking with Neil Manthorpe about cricket and bats and balls and how's that and all that sort of stuff. Don't really understand it myself.
Got hold of Neil Manthorpe, who's Gary Kirsten's biographer. Worked with him on his autobiography. Gary Kirsten is very much in the frame. Looks like he's almost certainly going to get the England cricket coach's job taken over from Trevor Bayliss. Knowing Gary as you do, and knowing that he kind of stepped away from the sort of front line of coaching and country to spend more time with his young family, were you surprised that he said yes to this?
Well, yes and no. I mean, anybody who's had a young family knows that there's no predicting what your relationship will be like with them as they grow up. And, you know, he thought that, as I guess many first-time parents or parents of young families think, well, they'll have to be at least 16 before I consider being away from them for any considerable length of time. So that does change. His elder boy, he's got three kids. Josh is now 15. He's got just 2 years left of school. There are two younger ones. And so, you know, the time's right. I mean, I do think that if anybody thinks he's got a slightly flaky reputation for sticking at jobs, they've got a reason to think that. You know, he left the South African job after 2 years when he had an option to, and everyone expected him to do 4 years. He hasn't lasted particularly long in a couple of IPL gigs, but he doesn't commit to things lightly. But the first thing to say is that when I spoke to him 2 days ago, he said to me that they were going to a couple of interviews today, and that he definitely wasn't confirmed, although all signals are pointing to him getting the job. But yeah, I was slightly surprised on the one hand, but whereas he would never ever, in my opinion, relocate to anywhere else in the world, I know that him and his wife Deborah have got a soft spot for England and for London in particular. They've owned an apartment there for a decade and a half, so I think they're looking forward to it.
What's his management style, Neil?
He is adamant about not seeking the limelight and not taking credit as a coach. He's all about the primacy of the captain and the players. I'll tell you a little story, actually. He'd never coached a team when India took a punt on him. Ravi Shastri and Sunil Gavaskar decided to give him a go coaching the Indian national team, having never coached a domestic team. He did, of course, play 101 test matches. Mm. But the most intimidating thing for Kirsten when he took over the team was what I do with Sachin Tendulkar. What the hell? I remember speaking to him several times before he actually went over there. And he said, what am I going to do with Sachin Tendulkar? How can I help Sachin Tendulkar? So the first player he sought out when he went over there was Sachin Tendulkar. And he said, Sachin, tell me what you want from me. What do you want from a coach? And Tendulkar's answer was, I want a friend. And he said, right, okay, I can do that. Wow. I mean, he also threw about 25,000 balls at him in the nets. But just from my observations of Joe Root on the last couple of tours that I've been on, I think that's a really good fit because it just seems to me that maybe it's his little boy face, but it just seems to me that Joe Root could do with a really good friend.
After H&J, of course, it's the turn of Adrian Durham, Darren Goff, on Drive. And this is Aid, giving his reasons as to why Pep won't let Phil Foden go out on loan.
The reason he's not going on loan is because Pep just wants him to have Manchester City habits. He just wants him to be completely engrossed in the Man City ethos. It's something that's quite different to everywhere else, like Liverpool's is. It's quite different to everywhere else. He doesn't need him to go anywhere else. Just stay here, soak it all up, whether you're watching, training, playing, in the video sessions, review sessions, whatever it might be, just soak it all up. And by the time the start of next season comes around and David Silva is no longer at the football club, Phil Foden should be ready. But in terms of England and the Euros next summer, I'd love to see Phil Foden. I think we'd all love to see him have a big impact at the Euros. Gareth Southgate should just show that bit of bravery. He's done it in the past. We know he's got it in. Just put him in the England squad.
It must be in his mind, Foden, as well. He must be thinking, I want to play for England. I want to be in that tournament. Because he'd have to wait, what, 3 more years for the next one. That's a long time. If you're younger, he could be part of that next tournament. Surely he wants to be part of that next tournament. But the only way he's going to be part of it, either Southgate is brave and he picks him in the squad and then has a look at him then, or he gets more game time with Manchester City.
For me, there's no reason why Southgate shouldn't pick him. He's picked players who've not even played in the Premier League before. Callum Hudson-Odoi was the example. We've seen Phil Foden over the last couple of years have some minutes, Champions League and Premier League. And probably more importantly, from an England point of view, we've seen Phil Foden with the England badge on his shirt represent his country and step up at every junior level. He's been brilliant. So that should be the pathway into the first team for England. I expect Gareth Southgate to pick him in the next squad coming up.
Well, that's nearly it for, of course, another podcast. But before we go, just a little email that came in. He says, loving the podcast already, Andy. It's really, really good. The figures are great. I'm surprised TalkSport still aren't paying you. But anyway, I'm sure that will change in the near future. Anyway, loving your work. Can't work out. This is interesting. Can't work out which is a better show. Oh, okay. The Sports Bar or the Trans Europe Express on a Sunday from 9 p.m. Good question. Both, of course, I present, so I'd say they're equally brilliant. Anyway, here's proof that the Sports Bar is up there with the best of them.
Oh, first of all, may I just compliment your producer on his record choice. Cracking.
Oh, we didn't do the Pink Floyd, did we?
Oh, is it Pink Floyd night, Josh?
We didn't do it, did we? Forgot.
Oh, you forgot. No, not we. No, Josh just said we did do it. No, we don't ever do it, Josh. It's you that does it.
Who asked for it? Was it you, Paul?
No.
Someone asked for Pink Floyd, didn't they, last night?
No, tonight's Kasabian.
Josh is just saying I wasn't told about this. Were you on last night's show, Josh? Yeah, we were all told about it at the same time. Yeah. And then I looked at you and nodded and you went, yeah. So you've forgotten, Josh. Sorry, Paul, I do apologise. Carry on.
It's a cautionary tale, really, about blind dating.
Oh. About what?
Blind dating.
Oh, blind dates. Okay, go on then.
I met someone through Guardian Soulmates.
Not TalkSportSingles.com?
No, it was before I started listening to TalkSport, to be absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And I met this lady at a gym. We had a drink in a bar. We got on really well. She was a bobby.
Policewoman?
Yes. And so she said, oh, shall we meet one night? I said, yeah, okay. But I were on lay duty.
Is this a joke, Paul?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Go on then.
And so I met her on a place in Sheffield called West Street, and she were there with a bunch of police pals. And I'd done a late shift, so it was about 10 o'clock when I got there. Yeah. Not great. And I had a pint and said, oh, I'll get off now because I'm really tired, sort of thing. I've got up in the morning. No problem. Anyway, the strangest thing were, I can't take a phone to work.
That's brutal. He's a good lad, Paul. Snort him off.
We don't need no education.
I was on the show last night, and you promised me that Pink Floyd.
Yes, it's Josh.
Michael, this is Josh.
Come in studio. Put this mic live and come in, Josh, quickly.
Hurry up. I would like to have a word with this,
right,
Josh.
He's coming in now.
This retrograde.
Can I just say, even when I said put the mic on, he couldn't even do that. You haven't put the mic on, Josh.
Right,
here we go. This is Michael. You're through to Josh. Josh was working on the show, nodded yesterday when you said Pink Floyd, and he's listening now to you, Michael. Off you go.
Hello, Josh.
Hi, Michael.
Where on earth did you? What were you doing last night?
I'll be perfectly honest with you, Michael. I completely forgot.
Sorry, yeah, Mike. Sorry, Michael.
You make a promise. Yeah. You said promise.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Don't go on. It's only music.
Get over yourself.
Right, yeah. It's not the biggest thing, man. But that's it for another podcasting thing. Well done for listening. Well done for downloading. Well done for pressing subscribe. Whatever you've done, just well done in life. Anyway, I'll be back with more of the same the next time you listen to this. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for breathing. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com. And use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo. Built to last. Designed to impress.